Now I need to utilize it. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. This was the last words that the Lord spoke in his present form. I want you to know that. He's still speaking.
Amen.
Let me read two more verses here. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you unto heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go unto heaven.
Amen.
So you can be seated. I want to preach to you today, if I can, three things that the church received this day. Now I'm going to tell you today, these three qualities that the church received, if you don't have them today, as you listen to this message, if you don't have them, I want to ask you if you would today to consider applying them to your life, because they are applied, and I want you to understand it today, they are applied things. You ain't walking down the street one day and like somebody hit you in the head with a mater or something. They don't come that way. You've got to apply.
Right.
The Bible says this about the about salvation. It says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. In other words, the word of God brings us to the knowledge. Listen to me. Somebody said the gospel brought me to the cross. No, the gospel showed you where the cross was. You had to go there to get saved.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, I feel like if the Lord wants to save me, he'll come back in the pew and yank me up and make me get saved. No, when you realize you need Jesus in your life, you'll surrender to his will. And he don't surrender to you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Last week, we reminded ourselves of the crucifixion on Friday night by the taking of his body and his blood in remembrance of him. On Saturday, and it's funny, but it reminds us of things. We celebrated Easter with the children, with Easter egg hunts and things like that. There ain't nothing wrong. I know what people say. My Lord, have mercy. I'm going to tell you this. If I had something to fuss about, it wouldn't be about an egg and an Easter rabbit.
No.
If I was going to fuss about something, I believe I'd fuss about sin. Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Some folks, they say, preacher, I'm not having anything to do with that. All that is paganism. Well, if you want to go that, let's go ahead and throw Walmart in there too. That's some of that stuff. I don't care nothing for it either. Low prices. That's a lie.
Amen.
Shoot, I thought we was all dead. Sunday, we celebrated his resurrection.
Yes. Yeah.
See, I don't know why. We get hung up on his death, and we never... The victory wasn't in his death, folks. The victory was that he got up.
Listen,
they crucified people. The Roman Empire crucified them. On one occasion, they crucified them for miles, ever so often, just along the side of the road, just to show their power. Just say, I can. You ever done that? Hey, you better watch how you answer me today. You ever been mean to somebody just because you could? Yes, you have. But I'm going to tell you this today, praise God. When we surrender to Christ Jesus, we give that up. That don't matter to us no more. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I've got hope in Christ Jesus today. I don't have to act like the world acts.
Amen.
I don't have to, because I have hope in Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
Now we're here. Christ has rose, and he has showed himself to the disciples. He has spent over 40 days with them. Not only them, but others. At one time, I believe the Bible gives us record of over 70 people at one time he spoke to after he had arose. So we have good proof that he was alive. Even our historians write about him raising from the dead. And the stories that were told to disclaim what the disciples had proclaimed. He's alive. He's not dead. How do you know it's alive, preacher? You didn't live back in those days, because the Holy Spirit has taught me.
Yeah, amen.
Now I want to say this to you, and then I'm going to get in the message. I would hate to believe in something that I didn't know anything about.
Amen.
I was listening to a person the other day on the radio, and he was comparing the Bible to the quatrains of the Quran, and he was just comparing some differences. He spoke of what Jesus said and what Muhammad said. The differences were staggering. Really, when you just broke it down. What Jesus said we should do to sinners. We should love them. That's exactly what Jesus taught. We should love sinners. Now, Jesus never said anything about love and sin. We've got folks today that want us to love sin.
Yeah.
We do, you know. Let's take the homosexual community. They're griping right now because folks are wanting to pass laws that protect everybody's right to believe whatever they want to. It's silly our country's even in that discussion.
Yeah.
It was founded on the premise of freedom of religion in our country. I tell you a good lesson that we can tell the world. We don't really care what you think about us being Christians. They don't say nothing about anybody else, do they?
Right.
You can be any other religion you want to, but we don't want you to mention that you're a Christian, because if you say you're a Christian, you're already labeled as a racist and everything else. Am I correct?
Yeah,
am I preaching you anything wrong today? No. The problem is this. There ain't nobody going to answer to Muhammad. You know why? Because he's dead. He never got up. There ain't nobody going to answer to any other of these gods that you hear today, because it's all documented that they died and stayed dead.
Right.
My God died and got up.
Amen.
And he's alive today. And if I recognize, now this is where we're at today in our country, in our world. If I recognize that he got up, then that somehow I got up. Well, I believe that he's alive, so therefore, I'm going to have to acknowledge him as being what he said.
Yeah.
And the scripture says, at the name of Jesus, let every knee bow, and let every tongue confess that he is the Lord. That's where the problem is, folks. Nobody will just come out and say it.
No.
But the problem is this: once I recognize him, then I am saying in that I believe. When you nail these same people down, Ruth, you know what they say? Well, I believe in God.
Yeah.
Were you going to heaven? Well, yeah. Don't
you?
Am I correct?
Yeah.
Well, what's the problem, preacher? I first must surrender to the will of God.
Right.
That is the problem. And if we ain't careful, we'll say, yeah, you're right, preacher. You're right. They won't surrender. But I'm asking you the question today, and I've said everything I've said this far just before I can preach to you today. Have you surrendered?
Amen.
Because what's so awesome about having a relationship with Jesus Christ is it don't matter what somebody else is doing. He's asking you what are you doing.
Yeah.
So we find the early church here. They were walking with Jesus. The Bible, on another occasion, gives us an idea of where they were at. They were outside the city of Jerusalem, and they were walking toward the Mount of Olives. On the Bethany Road is where they were at. And they were walking, and they were talking, and the disciples said, Jesus, at this time, will you restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said, oh, boys, don't worry about that. Don't worry about those things. You're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you're going to be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. You're getting ready to get a hold of something you've never seen before. You've never felt before. You've never experienced the Holy Ghost power of God. And they were just talking about it. And all of a sudden, as he said that, the Bible says that he began to ascend. And the Bible says that the clouds received him out of their sight. In other words, he just went right on up to the clouds. Now, I don't know where heaven is. I don't know where all that is, where the throne of God is, or this or that. But I know when you leave here, you'll start up.
Yeah.
Now, I ain't got no idea where you go from here, but you ain't going down, you're going up.
Yeah.
And other occasions in the Bible, it teaches us about that. We're going up. The church is not going down. It's going up. Who is the church, preacher? It's a band of baptized believers. That's all it's going. Those that have had their names recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those that have had their robes washed white as snow. That's who's going. That nobody else is going. I want you to know this, and I'm going to tell you what's going to keep those folks from going, and it's sin and unbelief and a failure to surrender to the will of God. That's what's going to keep you from going ahead. Just not believing that he is who he said he was. Somebody said, preacher, I'm an awful drunk. I won't be able to go to heaven on account of that. No, you won't be able to blame that.
That's right.
Well, preacher, you don't know how I live. You won't be able to blame that. Praise God. When you stand before the righteous judge of God, there'll be one excuse keeping you from going, that you did not believe and surrender to his will.
Amen.
See, the gay community says this. Well, Jesus loved the harlot. And he did. But what did he tell them? They never mentioned that.
Yeah.
What did he tell them? Woman, at first he said, your sins are forgiven. Yeah. Norman read it in their Sunday school lesson this morning. Woman, your sin is forgiven. Then he said, go and sin no more. Quit doing that. Quit being that kind of person. He told, Norman mentioned our Sunday school this morning, he told the crippled man, your sins are forgiven.
Yeah.
Get up. Take up your bed. He told the blind man. He made mud out of spit. And he put it over his eyes. And he said, now you go wash in the pool. Every occasion that you read of God touching somebody, he gave them an instruction to obey. You can even go back to the Old Testament. When Naaman, the leper, went to Elijah, he said, or Elisha, whichever one, he said to go to the River Jordan and wash seven times. Well, he fussed because the River Jordan wasn't as clean as the rivers in Syria.
Yeah, amen.
And he was so hard-headed. Didn't cost him. He brought a king's ransom, was going to give to this old guy. And he said, I don't want your money. something out here in church, what I'm giving you, you're getting free.
Right.
Naaman said, why didn't the prophet ask me to go to Syria and wash in one of their better rivers? He was going back, and this little old woman that had told him, Tammy, about this prophet in Israel, he looked at and he said, Naaman, if he had asked you something hard to do, would you have done it?
Being a man of valor.
Yeah, I mean, go slay 10,000 lions. That man would have went there. No question. Go do this or go do that. That man would have went there. But all he asked you to do was go down to the River Jordan and dip yourself 7 times and you'll be healed. I'd at least try. If I was a leper, I would at least try. With the track record that man had, I would have at least tried. And he got thinking, he said, you know what? I think I'm going to just go down and try. And if, like us a lot of times, Lord say, if you'll do this, I'll bless you. And we'll do it one time. I've heard people in church, they'll go. They'll say, well, preacher, the Lord spoke to me and he wants me to do this. And they'll do it once. And they might not be 4 or 5 people. And they spend more time fussing about who's there than they do about doing the work I told you to do.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something. You think that old preacher that preached the revival that Billy Graham got saved in knows what he was doing? You reckon he thought for a second when that little old mean boy come out of the back pew back there seeking salvation, you reckon he realized what he had done that night? Well, no, he didn't. And neither do you.
That's right.
Listen, the work of God's not in your hands, it's in his hand. He just chose you to do it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The work of God, God's not asking you to take care of the end result. He's just asking you to do what he asked you. Where I work, they make explosives. There's not one person in that plant from start to finish makes explosives. He just does his part. That's all he does. He just does his part. He might work in this building and that building does one little part and sends it on down the line. Don't you, right?
Yeah.
They say, well, what do you do, preacher? I make sure he's able to send it on down the line. I keep his little old catalog. I'll keep you building and painting, or I'll do whatever that they need me to do. But they, none of them does it all. They just do their little part.
Yeah.
You know what makes a church work? When everybody does their little part.
Amen.
When everybody proclaims the name of Jesus. When everybody has a singleness of heart. You can read right on over, and I'll read here in just a minute. The Bible says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the church was together in one accord. They had one thing common. They were waiting on the gift, Debbie, of the Holy Ghost of God. They were all just sitting there waiting. And the Bible says, as a mighty rushing wind, the church got motivated. You know what motivates the church of the living God? The Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Nothing else. You say, preacher, we got this program coming up here. No. If you ain't included the Holy Spirit, there'll be nothing there, Tammy. It'll be a program. That's right. They have those down, you go down here, Roger, the Playhouse. They have a program down there. I went down there a while back. Levi was in a play. Went down there and they done a little house of horrors, I think it was. Something like that. Where it had that big plant that eaten everybody you on it. Y'all seen that. And I thought, man, what a great job they done. But I didn't want to go out and start doing theater or anything like that. You know why? Because I know I can't. But listen, when the Holy Spirit comes on you just feel like you can do anything that God would ask you to do.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happened to the church. The Holy Spirit motivated.
Yeah.
To go tell the what Jesus had told them. Listen, Matthew 28:18 says this: as God commissions a church, and if any church ought to know what it says, dear church ought to, you will be witnesses of me, not of yourself, and you'll go tell the world what I have. Yeah. You'll baptize them in my name and tell them the very things that I told you. Know what you think.
See, I don't know why y'all do this. Y'all sit here all morning,
listen to the women complain about it being too cold. All morning, you men done this. Brandon, I know you did. All morning, I sit here and froze to death. The rest of you women, well, I get up to preach and they turn the heat up. Well, I'm going to preach a little extra longer just for that. How about that? I'm going to sweat through it. I just said that. I had to say something about Brandon today. He felt like I was mad at him. You're afraid, brother. Let me tell you something. While I'm getting on people in the pew today, I want to tell y'all something. Gary Lawson came to our church, I guess about the first time he came to our church. And we went out and eat dinner after that. Me and Brandon and Gary and our wife, we went out and ate. And Gary said something to me, and it's motivated me through the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm not forgotten it, and I thank you, Gary, for telling me. But as we sat down to eat, Gary looked at me and he said, "My Lord, you know how many folks you've got in your church that I've arrested?" I said, "Well, who did you expect to find at our church? First Baptist?" Listen to me, dear church. If we're not seeking sinners, what are we doing? Who's motivating us?
Yeah.
Praise God. Who do you? The Bible says this, that Jesus told his servants to go into the highways and the byways and the hedges and compel. You know who he was talking about? The homeless.
Yeah.
The destitute, the poor. He said, "I want my house to be full." Right. Who can we reject? Nobody. With the Holy Spirit's guidance.
Right.
If we're motivated by the Holy Spirit, we're telling everybody that Jesus saved today. It doesn't matter.
It don't matter. Praise God, you might be standing in line at the McDonald's and God, the Holy Spirit, come on you and say, "You didn't shout right for that man." Shout it.
Yeah. You say, "Preacher, I don't know how." Tell him what Christ done for you. That's the best shouting I've ever heard anyway. I'd rather hear Jerry Claus tell me what Jesus done for him than tell anything else he's ever told me. I'd rather hear Ray Thompson tell me about old Jack Land preaching him the gospel peace of Jesus Christ than anything else Ray Thompson's ever told me. There's Norman Cinnamon hearing the good news of Jesus Christ back in 1999.
Yeah.
I'd rather hear about it than anything. And I'd rather hear it out of you than I would anything.
Yeah.
I'd rather know that you've been washed by the blood of the Lamb through the gospel of Jesus Christ, motivated by the Holy Spirit of God, than anything you can tell me.
I'm sure
you hear that, didn't you?
Yeah.
And the world needs to hear it too. They, the fact of the matter is, they want to hear it.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell you, you've kind of got them stumped anyway. They can't figure out why you're so happy. They can't. You ever get the idea sometimes that our leadership in our nation is miserable and they want everybody else to be miserable?
Yeah.
You ever get that feeling? You don't believe what you're saying, but you're so miserable in it that you want me to be miserable in what I believe. But I'm not going to be miserable in what I believe. I'm not running around preaching what they ought to be doing when Jesus Christ
called you.
You ever heard preachers and all they do when they get up to tell you how sorry you are?
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord, I ain't listened to that too many. I know how sorry I am, don't you, Paul? You don't have to remind me. Tell me how I can get out of the shape I'm in.
Yeah.
That's what I want to hear. The Holy Spirit will motivate you to get out of it. Listen, dear church, unless we're motivated by the Holy Spirit of God, praise God, we'll not do anything.
Amen.
The disciples were motivated by the Spirit. on the day of Pentecost.
Let me tell you the second thing. They were educated by the Holy Spirit of God. This is what the elders of Jerusalem. Aren't these men Galileans? Brother Bradley's text. Ain't he from Fort Valley? Ain't no educated people in Fort Valley. Wait a minute. Ain't that fellow from Straw? I'll get your communion for you. Don't worry about it. See, that's what the world wants to do. They want to discredit who you are. Ain't these men Galileans? They're ignorant. They've not been schooled.
Wait a minute.
That fella's preaching in Portuguese. He's a Galilean. Where did he learn that at? The Holy Spirit
educates. Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Praise God. 1997, I knelt down in a dirt hole. Praise God, two Venezuelan young men that was wanting to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was drawing it out on the ground. I didn't know how to speak Spanish, but I was letting them know that Jesus would save them on the spot. You know what Jesus does? He saved them in that dirt hole. Don't you tell me when we're educated, motivated by the Holy Spirit, when we're educated by the Holy Spirit, we can do great things in the world, such as wonder.
Yeah.
Our former DOM, John Pratt, said one time this church, somebody asked him, said, what about beer? What about that beer in church up there, New Church? Said, what about them? What kind of church are they? What kind of preacher do they have? Yes. He said, well, to start with, he said, I'll tell you about the church. He said, they're as close to the early Acts church as I was ever read about. Now, I've ever had any contact with. But we must be motivated by the Spirit.
Yeah.
People know who we are.
Yeah.
You know what, man? I've got this good friend. He's a preacher, and he's a great person. I just love his heart. I love the work that he does all around the world. He was talking to me here a while back past this about our church. And he would say, well, y'all's church do this? And I said, no, we don't do that. He said, y'all's church do this? And I said, no, we don't do that. And I saw him. He was searching because he'd heard all the tales, you know, about your church. I said, we're just a traditional church. We have traditional service. We don't, we don't have a praise band. I ain't saying I wouldn't like to have one.
Yeah.
For all you band geeks that go to church here, what's wrong with y'all? Why ain't we having some trumpets playing this morning? Maybe there'll be some playing on that day.
Yeah.
Well, the Holy Spirit ain't motivated me, and the preacher ain't asking. That's what you say. Yeah. And we got a church full of folks that are waiting for somebody to ask them to do something for God when the Holy Spirit says, why don't you get up and say something for Jesus? Quit talking about your birth title. Now, I'm going to get personal with you here. Don't get mad at me. Quit talking about your ingrown toenail. The headache you had last week. My back hurts. My arm hurts. My eyeball hurts. Quit talking about that and start talking about the man that can touch your infirmities and lift you up. Because the truth of the matter is, about this old mud house that you got is washing away every day. And gravity is getting. This spiritual body that dwells within you ought to be getting stronger every day. And I am very serious. Well, preacher, how can I be
taught in the Holy Spirit. Well, the first thing you need to do is get your own manual out and read about how you are to care for the temple of God.
Yeah.
Look here. I got a picture just for Chip.
Bodily exercise profits little.
Yeah.
Just in case you want me to be more healthy. Amen. Amen. For some fat person better, amen. Amen. I read this thing the other day. I'll say this and Chip will have. I read this thing the other day. It said it's amazing that all those folks that eat right, get their exercise, do the right things for their body, still dies.
Yep.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You know what God says? Just use everything you want to do. If you like running, then run. See, that's one of those folks like Chip. And I love him. Ask Chip, I ask him every time. I've asked him this morning, I said, did you run this weekend? Yeah, about 15 miles. And I walk away and say, my Lord. I want to fish and mow the yards. That killed me. That killed me. I was running 15 miles. For no reason. Now, something's after me. But Chip said, no worries. Saying, yeah, when that fire gets after me and you.
Yeah, I'm in it.
That's what Chip said. Chip's going to outrun all of us. The fire's going to eat us. Chip's going to be low. Those things are good. Do those things. I'm telling you, I ain't got nothing, but don't tell me I got to be closer to God. You know what? You know about as close as I get to God? So I'll sit down with the scripture and I will read just like that scripture read this morning for eight chapter Psalms, one of my favorite scriptures too. What is man that God would even consider us? Isn't that a good scripture? And he said that God said in the third verse, he said, when God hung the moon and the stars and the universe, in the fourth verse, he said, who are we that he would even consider?
Yeah.
After his great work, what in the world have we done that God would even notice? But he did us. He loved us. You can read that on down in the 5th and 6th and 7th verse. But then he does love us. So when we're educated by the Holy Spirit, we realize this, that no matter where we come from, it's where we're headed that gives us. See, the church, this world is not the church's home.
Yeah.
Paul wrote it, I guess in the best way, he said, if only in this life we had hope, we would be miserable.
That's right.
It kind of helps me understand what's wrong in the world now. Because all that stuff's hope in this life. But my hope's not in this life. The fact of the matter is, I like what the scripture says about it, we're pilgrims and strangers traveling in a strange land.
Yeah.
We're not home yet.
That's right.
God's people's not at their final destination.
Then the last thing, and I'm going to share this with you and I'm going to close.
The early church were motivated by the Holy Spirit. They were educated by the Holy Spirit. And they had a purpose driven by the Holy Spirit. I want to ask you something today. I'm going to just be brief for this last part. Do you have a purpose? Do you have a purpose? Is there a reason God put you here? Do you understand that reason? Do you know why he put you here? Do you realize this today? That if you don't open your mouth about Jesus and tell the world that Jesus saved you today, that they're not going to know yet. The church, the early church had a purpose then. And that was to tell the whole world that Jesus was alive.
tell you what the great scholar Josephus wrote
about 90 years. Now you listen to me. About 90 years after Jesus had rose. 90 years. He said there was not a corner in this world that had not heard that Jesus was alive. A historian, not a Christian, wrote that everyone had heard. Everyone. When we have a purpose given by the Holy Spirit of God, we'll tell the world you need to save. Bible, I get tickled at people, they'll read the Bible and they'll say, well, when the gospel reaches the four corners of the world, it's been there and back so many times, it looks like a ping pong ball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My Lord, folks, I've been to 2/3 of the world telling them that Jesus saves today. I've only been doing that, Ray, for about 15, 18 years.
Yeah.
That's greater men than me, Brandon Lawson. You mark down my words that has proclaimed from the mountaintops of this earth Jesus saved today.
Yeah.
They're hearing it right now. They're hearing it right now, this morning, Brian, all over the face of this globe.
Amen.
That Jesus saved today.
Already there.
Some of them has hunkered down, Debbie, in little old rooms with just 4 or 5 of them, but they thought worthy. There's some in great cathedrals, thousands and thousands and thousands of people, and they're proclaiming from the top of their lungs, Jesus saves them. And then all points, every point, little old pure Baptist churches sitting around all over this world,
yeah,
and they're telling the world today that Jesus saves them. And I personally am giving you an invitation this morning that Jesus will save you.
Amen. Listen, your Missionary Baptist Church was not founded upon the Great Commission of God that we might have a Bible drill team.
Now, I ain't saying nothing mean to you. You know that, don't you, Ray? But you know what the Bible drill does? It educates you through the Holy Spirit, don't you? That's what's so awesome about it. God just calls people. Like Wayne to say, hey, we need a Bible drill team in our church. But that's not what saves people, the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We've got youth programs here. We've got death programs. We've got elderly programs. We've got Christmas programs. We've got every kind of program you can. But if they're not pushing Jesus Christ and Him crucified, you need to drop that program and get motivated, taught, and have a purpose to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now I want to tell y'all something else too. You don't go to a church and you don't have a pastor, and if God speaks to you, that it falls on deaf ears. But I'm going to tell you this. I want you to know this. If God speaks to you, that don't mean I'm going to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've had people come to me for the last few years and say, preacher, we need a choir. We'll get one done. So God sends us people to help. I'm going to tell you, when you're motivated by the Holy Spirit, God will give you every tool that you need to do that. But I'm going to tell you this, He ain't going to give you the crystal cathedral choir and you sitting on your feet.
Right.
You got to get up. You got to surrender to the will of God. You know what? Well, I don't know how to do that. Then be taught by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Be educated by the Holy Spirit. Be motivated by the Holy Spirit. Have a purpose. That's what God gave you to do.
You know what most churches in our country is more interested in than anything?
Let's get them cleaned up and make tithers out of them.
Yeah.
Let's get them cleaned up. Let's make sure they wear a necktie at church on Sunday. I don't care where you wear a necktie or not. But I like to see your heart get suited up.
Yeah.
And you go, what are you talking about suited up, preacher? Let me tell you, you can read it over in the scriptures. I believe it's in Thessalonians. Put you on the whole armor of God. Is that right, Mark?
That word, like Thessalonians.
Ephesians, thank you, Jim. Ephesians chapter 5. Put you on the whole armor of God. What is it? First, let's have the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, the shield of faith, and the sword of the word. I'd like to see your heart get seen today.
Yeah.
I don't care what you look. You can be as ugly as you want to be. I don't care. I ain't gonna pick on no ugly people today, but that's all right, that's right. But I could. Let me tell you what the scripture says. When you're dressed up in the Holy Spirit, you become beautiful to God. And no matter what the world says. When we're motivated by the Holy Spirit, Tammy Thompson, we quit worrying about what the world says anyway.
Yeah,
when we're
that's right.
And handed and drained by the Holy Spirit of God, we care less what the scholars of this world says. And when we have a purpose in the Holy Spirit of God, we're unstoppable.
Yeah.
We're unstoppable. Church. See, that's what makes you work through, right? I can't. Hey! Why y'all building here? I'm building a church. Well, it won't ever work. That's what makes you work through that.
Yeah.
It won't, a church will never last. 15 years later, I don't feel dead. You gone.
Church, no.
Still going. Fact of the matter, praise God. We're not only having service here today because of here in church. We're having churches in Jamaica. We're having church in China.
Yeah.
Venezuela. Oh, my Lord. Old Jack Lamb didn't have no idea. He just always seemed to be saying, sitting back there and he said, my little sister never had no idea. Thank God, but all these things were going to be boy. I don't know who told you, but they never had no idea what God was going to do. They just seen me. They were motivated. They were educated, and they had a purpose. Let me tell you something, dear church. Unless we're motivated, educated, and have a purpose for Christ Jesus, we'll never do anything.
That's right.
We'll never do anything. You can have all the programs, you can have all the things you want to do, but unless it's grounded in the leadership of the Holy Spirit, it's a waste of time.
Right.
And you know what you're going to get out of it? I'm going to tell you this, most of you. I'm going to tell you what you're going to get. You're going to, when your event is over with, you're going to leave disgusted and aggravated. Not at yourself, but everybody else. You ever notice folks like that? When they're not led by the Holy Spirit, it'll be because the preacher didn't do something.
Yeah.
I've been blaming that 30 years. Well, if the preacher would have done more. I can't believe we couldn't get a song leader here for the night that I was having my event. For some leader to be here. Well, if some of the elders of the church would have been here. I'm going to tell you something, Danny. I don't want you to miss a thing that the Lord tells me today. But if you do, I'm going to do it for the Lord anyway.
That's right, bud.
I'm just doing it for God because He told me that.
Yep.
What He told me that. I'm so thankful. We had our Lord's Supper. Just had a drop-in Lord's Supper here the other Friday night. And I'm going to tell y'all something. Lord, have mercy. It felt like I took the Lord's Supper 40 times.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It was unreal. I was just crushed by the Holy Spirit. It was awesome. It was so personal.
Yeah.
It had never been as personal to me as it was as I took it. And you say, well, did anybody else enjoy it? I don't know. I know I did. I know Mark told me. Mark said, my Lord, have mercy. I can't get over it. We met up here the other Sunday morning in the cemetery. That's the biggest sunrise crowd I've ever seen in my life. Lord, have mercy. And I thought all I could see was just here. The testimonies of the redeemed. Awesome it is. That was cemetery. At daylight, just as the sky was breaking the sun. It was cold, my feet were freezing off, and my heart was so warm, it was thawing the ground. I just tore up about hearing the good news of what people had to say about what Jesus' resurrection meant. You say, well, so-and-so could have been there. Lord, have mercy. Be thankful that you were there.
Amen.
Think out what you need. Lord, have mercy. How in the world? the Holy Spirit motivates me. I've had folks down through my life say, Fuzz, what are you still doing over at Jamaica? I got news for you. We're still telling the same thing that we was when you was out. Jesus saves you now. You say, well, I've never met him. Well, we're telling the same thing there that we are here. I just can't get over it. I can't get unmotivated about it. I can't get uneducated about my purpose. Now, I don't expect it to be your thing. But you're welcome to come have the hole anytime you want to. You know what? I think about folks down through my life, like old Gray and Tammy. See, they was over there. Praise God, 4 hours. And you said, foundation, I can't forget. Every time I go in the place, I think about your labor and getting things ready for me to come and share the gospel. I was thinking other night, I was over there in revival, and I was standing out on the street. You probably never imagined it, did you, a street revival? But I was standing out there, and as I was preaching, God, he reminded me, don't forget the ones that set the foundation. I can't get over it. And then the ones now that are carrying on the Lord's day. There's a wildfire. You all that's been there, the early workers, they've got pictures of them. And every time I go, I stop by. And just about every time I go anymore, it's one of them early ones. It's gone. They go. They leave us. What are we going to leave for our children? Brian Houston, are you going to teach your children that you've been motivated by the Holy Spirit? You've been educated by the Holy Spirit. Listen, I know where you come from. There ain't no president coming to tell you about the high school. But boy, I'll tell you what, God has raised up a soldier. God raised up a soldier.
I was thinking, I'm going to share it, Brian. I hope it don't embarrass you. If it does, I'll apologize to you before I even tell it. I was thinking about old Brian, and him would be over to make it, you know. Brian, he has his hair long and shut. I don't care about that stuff. Me and Brian be walking down the street, hold your wrist. Of course, I'm cleaned up and everything, you know. My head all shaved up, look like military. Me and Brian be walking down the street, that'd be one of them old Jamaican bushmen come and say, they'll look at Brian and say, you want to buy some weed? Brian, got some Bob Marley, man. You want some smoke? And they'll ask Brian that, you know. Brian told me one time, they don't never ask you. But I got thinking about that other night, Brian, and I was thinking about us being over at summer. You know what, we're going to make a purpose. Walk down that street when they ask for weed, and I've heard old Brian do it many times. Brian's purpose in his heart to tell them about Jesus.
Amen.
That's what he's doing. We're here on a mission trip, man. We're telling people what Jesus saved us today.
I've heard him tell them
that. See, they will never ask me that because I don't know what the part Brian does, but that's God using him.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Motivated by the Holy Spirit, taught by the Holy Spirit, has a purpose. Several years ago, Brian was over there. We didn't have any water or anything. We just bathed in the river. We'd walk down to the river bathing, but the time we walked back, it was so hot, we was nasty again. We even made a word up for what happened on the way down and back. You go down, bathe, wash up, and as you walk back up the mountain, you were sweating and nasty. And the time you got back to mission home, you smelled like you did before you left. And we even thought up a name for that, Neogi. That's what happened to you. You got Neogi all over you.
Skunk.
But it didn't matter. All that stuff didn't matter. The hardships don't matter. It's when you talk about the Holy Spirit, it is. I can't understand how it works, but I know it does. Dad, if you would, I want to ask you to come to bed. If you don't care what I saw.